is hard. Like, I did almost throw the towel in April. No, August, sorry. But then we just like persevered with it. And now Basic Space is yielding results. And now we're looking for a bigger studio space.
Welcome to the Digital Yogi Podcast. I am Charlotte Reynolds, a digital strategy and ads coach. I help ambitious yoga and wellness experts to scale and grow through the power of online. In today's episode, I'm super excited to be speaking with Jamie Hepburn. She is the founder of London's most minimal yoga space called Basic Space, and also the founder of The Yoga Library, which is an online yoga platform. I've actually worked with Jamie in the past, back in 2020, 2021, supporting her with her digital marketing strategy and her ads. So I'm so, so interested to hear what the journey's been like since then, launching and growing her businesses. In this episode, Jamie actually tells us why she nearly threw in the towel a few months ago. She speaks about the realities of running a studio. And I just love Jamie because she really does just say it exactly how it is. Enjoy.
I am Jamie Hepburn. Oh God, people ask me what I do for a living and I'm like, well, I can't really even say that I'm a yoga teacher anymore because I only teach.
I find that question so hard. Like when people go, oh, what do you, like people here, they go, oh, what do you do on the island? And I'm like, what do you mean? What do I do? Like, do you want me to go through all the things that I do in my week?
And also it's like, oh, you teach yoga. That's so cute. And I'm like, yeah, but no, I mean, and then I also don't want to be like, actually, no, I have this business and this business. So it's a really interesting question, but, I am an entrepreneur, I suppose. And I love yoga. I teach yoga, and a lot of the things that I do complement teaching yoga. So I've got the online yoga studio, which is the home for all the online classes that I do in my online network. And then I have Basic Space, the studio in London.
Yeah. So you've got two main businesses that you're focused on. Plus, I guess you also have your personal brand as well as yoga teacher.
Yeah, the personal brand, it's like third, fourth fiddle. If you ask my accountant what I did for a living, he would say yoga library, Basic Space, and then retreats. And those are the three sort of funnels: events and retreats, online studio, and then in-person studio.
What's going on for you right now, 2023? What's going on?
I'm 6.5 months pregnant, so that's been cooking for some time. And I have only, I think we might do two retreats this year, but I'm not really promising anything because I don't know how, I've never been a mother. I don't know how it's going to make me feel, but I do have a retreat in 3 weeks. I'll be 7.5 months pregnant, in 3 weeks time. And I'll be doing my last retreat before I go on mat leave. And then, the yoga library is still kicking. We're still dropping 6 to 8 classes a month. It's Jess and I predominantly on it now, but I'm looking to expand into more teachers. We tried to add more teachers in pandemic and it didn't really take off, but I think slowly, if I just do it a little bit slower and put the right bodies in, like people are a bit more flexible these days and they're trying it out a bit more, it seems these days. It's not exactly like relying on me anymore. And then the studio, same thing, like it's going really, really well. 6 months ago, I was so exhausted by it and like, I don't really know if I want to do this. And I never actually ever wanted to have a yoga studio. It just kind of fell into my lap. I tried to make it an event space that people would hire out to do their own things, so I didn't have to manage other teachers and classes. And now I have 25 teachers and 33 classes. So it's kind of fell into my lap. But the nice thing about Basic Space, and I think I enjoy it so much because I find it really fulfilling because it's not about me as much. Like I find it so easy to pump other teachers up and to like put them on an Instagram and to like speak about them. And I find that much easier than trawling along about myself and speaking about myself and pumping myself up and telling you why you should go to my class. It's much easier for me to tell you why to go to somebody else's class, and I can like shoot about that all day long. So the studio has been great because I used to teach, I'd say like a third of the classes there when we first started, and obviously we added more so that I wasn't teaching 10 out of 30, but now that we're at 33,
yeah,
I only teach 2 or 3 times a week. And so it's not at all reliant on me. And it doesn't falter if I go away, and I have full faith that when I go on mat leave, it's just going to keep thriving. And
I remember when we first started working together, I think Basic Space was really just starting out. And I think there was just a handful of classes on the timetable.
Just one evening, it was like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday. No, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
And I remember you were kind of like, I want it to be a success, but I kind of don't want people to know about it. So we're trying to get that balance.
Well, I was like, I'm really hoping that we can just get the day booking sorted, and I can, you know, and other people will hire it out, and it'll be super easy. And it's not been at all easy, but it's been incredibly rewarding, and it's been really, really cool. And now,
that's amazing. So do you prefer promoting, you prefer kind of putting that personal brand marketing to the side, and you prefer promoting Basic Space and the Yoga Library as businesses that aren't necessarily completely linked to you?
Yeah, I mean, I find Basic Space the easiest. I struggle with the Yoga Library. Like, I was getting back into it last week, but it's still talking about me. And not that I don't think I have enough to say, or that I'm an expert in my field, or I just find it weirder. I find it a little bit more uncomfortable to like shout out about myself. I'm a bit more critical of myself. So I second guess a lot of the things that I put out there, or coming down to like, I love putting on shoots for our staff, and like, I'm the creative director of it. Sometimes I'm the cameraman as well. Like last week, I was the photographer, and I find that so much easier. Like, oh my God, that's a great photo, great photo, great photo. Like, rather than like going through 100 photos of me being like, oh, you look so great, that one's so great. Like, I'm a little bit more critical of myself. And then so when it comes to adding a caption to a photo, or, you know, promoting something, I just find it much easier to promote other people and to lift other people up than myself. And I think that's, if I think about it, that's why I got into yoga in the first place, like teaching yoga, was to like lift other people up and make other people feel good. And it was never really about me being the center of the class. Like, I find that part still really uncomfortable, and I'm a lot more confident in it now. But I mean, at the beginning, if the music cut or some technical thing unfolded and I was like, I have to teach this without music to like hide behind, or, you know, I just don't really love being like center of it all. So I think it's much easier for me to lift other people up and to like,
I think that's the thing as well about having a personal brand, is that as business owners, you do have days where you're kind of up and down, like when you feel really inspired and motivated to talk about what you're doing. And other days where you just think, I don't feel like telling anybody anything about how I'm feeling or what I'm doing. But we all know that there's that consistency that's needed to keep growing and to stay top of mind. And it can be, I think it can be really challenging. You know, sometimes I go through phases, I just don't want to use Instagram. Quite often I have those faces, to be honest, but I think it is because it's speaking about yourself and you have to be feeling a certain way to do it. Whereas if it's about, you know, a business where you've got loads of things to talk about, classes that you've got coming up, events, everything like that, I feel like it's a bit easier to talk about, even if you're not really feeling it.
Exactly. There's so much more content, like, and yeah, when you're not feeling. And I do have days where I like yell, like today I'm super lethargic. So like, if I were to go on and like be like, having a great day, like, cheers to a Monday, like that's total bullshit. Like, I'm still in my sweatpants. And so it's not that inspiring. And that's okay too. Like, you cannot be inspiring all the time, but the studio is still thriving. So I can talk about all the things that are happening in the studio today that have, you know, nothing to do with me. And that sort of, it's just easier to gravitate to that. And like, I don't know, Basic Space, I find it more, it's completely me. Like, all the furniture in there is me. Like, I just got to do it all from scratch. Like, not that I didn't get to do the Yoga Library from scratch, but the Yoga Library is just this online space for classes. And like, there's not a lot of like creativity that can obviously the outpouring of classes is creative, but like the content surrounding it, like maybe I just haven't figured it out fully in the same way that I figured up that I think I figured out basic space. But, you know, the theme around the yoga library would be like practicing at home. And so it's always nice to like draw from spaces that are inspiring, like spaces to practice in, spaces that are quite calming. And then, you know, the classes kind of go into there. But I've never been the type of person that's like doing tutorials or, you know, showing you a step-by-step reel on how to get into a headstand, because I just don't have that in me. Like the, I guess the energy for it, or I just don't know. I don't know if it's that easily consumable in that way. And so I haven't really figured that. People can do it really well, but I just haven't really figured out how to put my own spin on it. And what I know I can do really well is deliver a class and teach a class, and my music is really great, so I can, you know, do that on the yoga library. But as far as like the Instagram and the socials for it, like maybe I haven't really quite figured it out. Whereas I guess there is so much more content on Basic Space. Like, you know, I don't know how it started, but we, you know, I think the first thing I bought for the studio, before it was meant to be a yoga studio, the first thing I bought for it was a chair, because I really wanted this chair. And I was like,
is it that orange chair that I see? Yeah, it's a very cool chair.
I really wanted this chair, and I couldn't justify spending all the money on it either. But I was like, you know what? I've earned this chair. Like, I've got an office. I don't know what I'm going to do with it. Like, it's this huge studio space. It needs a chair. And so I bought this chair, and that sort of started it. And I remember asking like an Instagram poll, being like, hate, like, what do you like or hate this chair? And it was like 50-50, like 50 people liked it. 50% of people liked it, and 50% of people hated it. And I was like,
perfect. My kind of chair.
Like, this is perfect. Yeah. And then from there, we added more furniture into it. And so chairs became this like thing, like people come into the studio and they want to sit on the chair. And so there's, you know, and then if you think about a chair, you think about like, sit with us, you know, like, and sit, like, sit with us is a really nice way to think about a yoga studio. Like, everybody is welcome. We sit in meditation, we sit on our mats. And so the chair kind of sparked the brand.
And that's a great justification, having that as your tagline, great justification for the cost of the chair.
The accountant let me put it on the company. So that's sort of what, I don't know. I feel I have this creative rain with, we did like a photo shoot for Basic Space. I don't know if you saw it. And I was like, let's bring the chairs in. And like, yeah, we like contorted our bodies onto these chairs. And it was, there was no reference for it. There was no, like, you know, when you do a photo shoot and you like, look at all the references of what you want to pull from. It was one of those things. There was not a single reference shot for it. And we just said, let's just see how it goes. And now they're always saved. Now they're references for other people's shoots. Now I'm starting to see people doing yoga with chairs. And then I'm not saying that they're taking it from us, but I'm like, maybe they were inspired by us, and that's pretty cool. And so I'm feeling a lot more like original ideas coming out of the Basic Space content. Whereas if I think about the yoga library, I'm constantly like thinking of ways and what I've seen and how, like, it just feels less organic, not less organic, but like harder work. Like, how do I stay relevant? Whereas Basic Space just, I don't know, it's like this creative outpouring.
Yeah. And I feel like the photo shoots that you do and the images you create, they seem unique. As in, if I see some of your imagery, I know that it's yours. Like, there's like a strong creative thing going on.
And I love that aspect. I also I love teaching yoga, but I love art and I love photography. And like, I found this way to like do it all. So like, coming back to the question of like, what do you do for a living? Like, yoga is like 10% of it sometimes. Like this week I'm going through all the imagery to pull to like, you know, set up to gift to the other teachers. Like, we don't, you know, we put these on for our teachers. Like, they love it. They're like, oh, I don't have to go and spend all this money on a photo shoot, and like, these photos are so great. And I'm like, you know, use them, here you go. They're not mine to own. I want the studios to own, like, if you're succeeding, we're succeeding, like, how can we lift you up?
Another business actually that I used to work with, Block, they were really good with that creative vision and really put a big focus on the photo shoots as part of their marketing. And I do think often it, I guess it depends on what your vision is and your vibe is. Some people that's going to work for them, some not. Even just the idea of thinking about marketing as having campaigns as well. Not everybody does that. And I think it can work for sure.
Well, you want to think about your brand as well. I knew immediately that I didn't want to be what I didn't want to be. And I didn't want to be Try Yoga. And I didn't want to be Mission. And I didn't want to, like, that's the new studio in East London. I didn't want to be the place that yogis go.
Well, yeah, you didn't want anyone to know about the studio.
That's very true. But I didn't want all star teachers. I didn't want, I mean, they all come with, most of them come with, not most of them. I don't want to generalize, but a lot of them come with egos. A lot of the students that go to these places have massive egos. And I wanted a place that people could do yoga and could move their body, but that you could just feel was a lot more. I love hiring new teachers. I love giving them the opportunity. Great teachers that are maybe new, but they've been practicing for a long time, that, like, you know, want to work at all these studios that say, oh, well, you know, you need X, Y, Z. You need all this experience already. And I don't know. I think people think the pinnacle of, like, where to teach is the Try Yogas and the Indabas. Well, like, I taught there. They're not that different. And the people are meaner, you know.
There's, like, a bit of, like, a status thing, isn't it? About, oh, I've got a class here and here.
Yeah, and there's great classes there. Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I practice there. If I want to, I'm not like . But I just knew that's not what I wanted. I didn't want to be a place where you ever felt like you had to be a yogi, for lack of a better word. I wanted a place where people that have been doing it for 10, 15 years could practice with someone that was brand new and not feel, neither person feel that they weren't taken care of in the class, that they shouldn't have been in there. Like, I don't want anyone that has been practicing for 20 years to be like, oh,
yeah,
there's a couple beginners in there. It was such a waste of my time. And, like, unfortunately, you get a little bit of that.
Yeah. One of the studios you mentioned, I think I bought like a two class. I bought some package where I got two classes. Went to the first one. They were so mean and rude that I never went back for the second. I was just like, and the mats stank as well. I was like, how can you charge so much money? My face is on this stinky mat and you've been so mean.
Yeah, it's not welcoming. It's not like, some classes can be like, there are some great teachers. Like, one of my favorite teachers in London is Mona Lisa Godfrey, and she teaches at both Mission and Try Yoga. So I'm not saying, like, it's every single teacher, but I just know that I've been to some classes. You know, you can't just drop into a class there. You have to know what you're doing. And if you drop into a class and you drop into the wrong class, it can be really off-putting, and it can put you off it completely, because you have, like, people doing handstands at the start. You have the teacher talking only to the front row.
Everyone's like handstanding in the beginning. I don't know. Maybe I've done that before. I'm not sure.
Maybe I have too, but to each their own. But, like, if you're brand new, I can definitely see why that would put you off. And all it would take in that moment is for the teacher to acknowledge you as well. And I don't think it's the case. I don't think that it's the case at all. I often found with those classes that teacher would kind of come in and just, like, would either talk to the people that they knew or wouldn't talk to anybody at all. I would just kind of roll into the class. And I never felt like I could go and ask the teacher a question after. And look, it's not up to the teacher to be the answer giver, for lack of a better word, of all your questions. But why don't we have the time for people? Especially in this kind of environment. Like, I don't always have the time to stay and to talk for 40 minutes after class. And if I really don't, I can say that, you know, I can say, like, I'd love to, like, table this conversation and, like, you know, send me an email and I'll answer you when I can. But, like, why don't we have time? Like, we're in this career where we are holding space for people, and that space doesn't really need to only fall into, or shouldn't really only fall into, the 60 minutes that you're being paid for it. Like, I get that boundaries are important, and you can have boundaries, but also,
yeah, it's just the nature of London, I think, though, as well. You know, people do only have 60 minutes, and if you overrun, people aren't going to be happy. And teachers as well, you know, I think you're already being taken advantage of. You have to put out your own mats, open up the studio, clean the mats, welcome everyone in on an iPad. You know, you think, oh, do you know what? I'm going to get in, do my class, and go. I've got another one, and it's an hour cycle away.
Yeah, but that's the problem with the industry, though. Like, that's the problem with the industry. You know, like, we should be giving more time. At Basic Space, we have them. We have teachers coming in 15 minutes before to put the mats down. And I'm like, look, I don't like to rush, so I go in half an hour early. That's me. You don't have to be in there half an hour early. 15 is kind of what it takes to get set up. But, like, there's free coffee, there's free tea. Go in half hour if you have the time, and set yourself up for success by having that tea, by, like, slowing down when you put the mats out and not rushing when you put them out. We've got some Carmies starting to, like, help them as well, just to, like, do the mats for them so they don't even have to do them. But, yes, it is tricky because on the one hand you're like, well, the teachers have to move from class to class to class to class to make money. But also, like, it doesn't breed a healthy environment for them. And so the problem is the industry. Like, and I used to think, it's interesting because I used to, like, obviously be the teacher, and now I'm the business owner. And when I was the teacher, I was very much more like this, like,
yeah,
well, 60 minutes, that's my time, you know? The studio is making a ton of money. That's not my problem. Like, I shouldn't have to put more in. But as the studio owner, I actually know that, you know, we don't make a ton of money because of the industry as a whole. So if you think, like, our drop-in, for example, is like 20 pounds, maybe 22 pounds. But the average person, if I average what everybody is.
Yeah, do you use, like, ClassPass and things like that?
10 pounds. Because you've got. We use ClassPass. We have our own memberships. And if you're on a ClassPass trial, don't get me started on ClassPass. If you're on a ClassPass trial, we get nothing at all. So for everybody riding a ClassPass trial and, like, ooh, free ClassPass month, because ClassPass email you every month and offer you a free month, then why wouldn't you take it? And I'm not, like, knocking the consumer. The issue is the ClassPass. But we don't get a cent from that. So we're about 8 people in the room before we break even. So as a student, as a teacher, you can be like, 8 people in this room. Gosh, Jamie's making 160 pounds for this class. And I'm making 38, you know? But that's really not the case at all. Like, when we're making, like, 75 to 80 on that class, but rent is 3K. Business rates are 800, heat and hydro is 500. You know what I mean? Like, it's about 8 people to break even. So by the end of it all, if the class is full, the teacher probably makes, like, 30%, 40% for us. Could be higher, could be lower, you know, depending. I mean, if I had a ballpark, that's probably what we are at, but, that's the studio finally breaking even at all after, like, 8 months. So whereas when I was teaching yoga, I was like, oh, Core Collective is making, like, 300 pounds off this class.
Yeah.
Now I know from the other end, I'm like, oh, maybe not. Fuck. You know? And it's been really interesting to see, like, sort of both sides of it. And I'm really transparent with the teachers. I'm really transparent in general with, like, what's being made and the incomings and outgoings, because I was a teacher turned studio owner, and I think it's great if you can do that. And so I'm always talking to the teachers about the reality of it. Like, you know, it took us almost a year to like break even, and we've probably made back the money that we originally invested in it, but maybe not.
Yeah.
It's going to take even more time to like
and so, make that money up. So teachers, when they've just started, they're starting to build up their schedule. They're realizing, okay, studios are not as flush as maybe we thought, and this is the rate I'm going to be getting, and it's not probably going to go up that much. And I've now got these classes at these really boutique-y studios, but I've realized actually not that fun. So like, what am I going to do now? What's next? They might be thinking about maybe opening a studio or creating their own online platform, maybe running retreats. Now you've done all of these things. What would you recommend? What would you say is the best direction to go in? Because obviously the landscape has changed just so much in the last few years. Things like online platforms, I think at once were like just like the obvious, really lucrative route to go down. But how do you feel like the consumer, like how do you think behavior is changing? Do you think people are still using the online platforms? Now they're like, where do you think the industry is going? Like what's going to maybe not survive?
I don't know. I think it's so complicated. Like coming back to the studio question, like the key to like paying teachers more in a studio setting would be to charge more to clients, and clients already feel strapped. Like £20 for a drop-in is not what people pay. Like that's what we put, that's what we set the drop-in at, but they're like free or £9. So in a way, like there's just for the consumer, when it comes to yoga, they don't see the value in it. I mean, I pay £30 a class for a reformer because I can't get it anywhere else. I can't do it anywhere else. I have to rely on that studio and that machine. I can do yoga from home. So maybe that's where some of the like issue is coming in with people not seeing the value in it. And look, £20 is expensive. Like I'm not saying that it is or it isn't. The problem probably trickles down to the government in the end, not haranguing companies to pay people more, or like putting systems in place that allow companies to subsidize wellness for individuals, because this is, you know, this is really good for people. But as a new teacher, and everyone, this is terrible advice maybe, but everyone's like, oh, I want to start teaching yoga. And I'm like, don't do it full time. Like, first of all, like, don't put all of your eggs into that basket right away, because it is really, really, really hard. I burnt out. I see people burning out all the time. I talk to my teachers all the time about burning out. The reality is, and we pay pretty well, I think, or at least that's what, I mean, I've asked the teachers, you know, I've asked what they get paid elsewhere. I you know, try to be sort of in that upper middle zone. We're not bougie enough to like pay full high quality, but you're making around £40 a class if you're lucky, because some studios are going to pay you 25 plus a pound per head and give you like a 12 o'clock slot. And so you are really lucky if you're making around £40 a class. And I don't know what the average person thinks they need to make a living off that. And when you're 21, it's very different to when you're 31 with a baby on the way, what you need to live on, to pay your mortgage, if you're lucky enough to have a mortgage, to even get on the ladder, because housing prices are so expensive. So if you think about the average class is 30, 40 pounds or whatever, ask yourself realistically how many classes you're going to need to make a living. That number is probably upwards of 10 a week. And 10 is possible. Like when you're, I did 20 when I was 21. It was possible, but it's like super draining. And so.
So here we reach a point in the episode where you might start to hear a little bit of background noise, a little bit of drilling. It doesn't go on for the whole of the rest of the episode. If it doesn't bother you, carry on listening. If it starts to do your head in, feel free to skip forward 10 minutes to about 39 minutes into the episode when the drilling stops.
I don't know. Like it's really this weird thing where you almost have to like get in young, burn out a bunch of times, but catch some emails along the way And then you can maybe start to like own your craft. And that's like the harder way of doing it. I'm sure there's a lot smarter ways of doing it, but you know, all these things that like yield really good results, like online platforms and retreats and trainings. I mean, you just need a lot of work to even get there. So I wouldn't put that in the same, I wouldn't like suggest that to new teachers, because you need, I think you need at least like 5, 6, 7, 8 years more to be able to facilitate a training, but you can definitely co-help and co-teach. But you like the beginning journey is so hard. I would just say like, just get in there as much as you can, like kind of side beam for a little while, like put all of your energy into what you do, into yoga, into your trainings, into your teachings. Yeah, try to teach 10 plus a week, even though it's really hard, but then like really help yourself on the outside of that. Like make sure you're practicing, make sure you're getting enough rest, make sure you are filling up your cup, because it's a surefire way to burn out unless you are doing all those things to help support yourself. And then coming back to the conversation of like, why should you stay after class and talk to your clients? This is exactly why you should stay after class and talk to your clients. Get their emails, get their names, understand who they are. Like build, like yoga is so much about building relationships that if you are just going in and out to teach, you're not making any connections. You could be the most amazing teacher in the world, but if they don't know where to find you after, if they don't feel like they can talk to you after, if they don't feel like they can connect with you, then they won't. And that connection is going to build your community. And when you know your community and you really understand your community, you can like kind of zero in on your community and you can offer them exactly what they might need. And then more importantly, when you have that like channel of communication, whether it's on Instagram, and Instagram's a great way to connect, especially if you're a visual person like me, but getting their emails, then you can start to like offer more outside of these studios. If you are just like stuck in and reliant on the studios, it's the studios that are like benefiting from all the work that you're doing. So like, for example, at Basic Space, we let the teachers put their retreat pamphlets out. You know, if they ask me like to promote their retreat on Basic Space, I'll do it. You know, like that's sort of how we can help. We know we ask you to stay 15 minutes before class and 15 minutes after class and to sign people in. So what we try to do instead is build them up in other ways, offering them free photo shoots, giving them free studio time. They can use our studio whenever they want to do their own personal things. Like Rebecca has her own class for her own network that she promotes, and we just give her the studio for it. Because it has nothing to do with us. You know, it's not the clients that we've built and put our money into marketing. Like, so find studios, first of all, have good ethos. Coming back to the question of new teachers, get in there, make those connections, and then start to think about other ways that you can reach people. And online platforms are a really, really amazing way to do that. But I think I see a lot of times people rushing into it. And then being disheartened by it because it doesn't work out the way they want to. The Yoga Library started on Instagram Live. That was really great because it was free. And even though it was free, I mean, people, to full transparency, people were donating money, so I wasn't working for free, but it was free. It was available for free and you didn't have to pay for it. But what people would do instead of donating or money for it, or this is back in early 2020 days, people would share it, and sharing it is also a form of currency. And then my Instagram profile went up like 3,000 or 4,000 people, all of which were wanting to do these free classes. And then I was like, okay, maybe I should get people on Zoom, and still free, but mm-hmm. the currency is the email. And so then I got the emails, and then, okay, now I've got the emails. Then I remember putting all the classes onto a page and saying like, pay what you can to access them. I can't deliver any more lives because we left LA for a little bit because COVID was out of control, and we went to a cottage in Canada and it has like no Wi-Fi and electricity. So I just knew like I can't teach any more classes. I also needed a break. Here's 30 classes that I've recorded. I put them up, pay what you can to access them. And then 300 people or so accessed the content. And I was like, oh, 300 people think this is worth purchasing. And then I took the average of what they thought that it was worth. Some people paid £300, $300 for it. Some people paid $1 for it. And that was fine, whatever you can afford. But I took the average, and that was what built the price of the online platform. But it wasn't just like me throwing everything into the online platform, throwing all my money into that space. Like it might work out, but you're probably going to be quite disheartened along the way. So as a new teacher, I'd say start on YouTube, start on Instagram Live, start somewhere that you can offer things for free. I think YouTube's probably better because if you get really good at that, you still have that, you've got some monetization from that. And it doesn't have to be the best quality at the start. You can do it on your iPhone. I'd get a good mic. I would get a good mic. I'd invest in a Rode little mini mic. They're great. And then from there, start to like go up the step ladder of how to make it better. It doesn't have to be perfect at the start, because the people that like what you're doing, they won't mind. And you're not trying to please the masses yet. Who cares about the one person that stumbles upon you and goes, oh, this is terrible quality? Because they're not even there for you, you know? And that's what the reason for building the community is like, you want people to want to support you, to like, it doesn't matter if this sounds a little bit muffled, I love her teaching. I want to see her succeed. And so community is very important.
So you think there is still potential for online platforms, even now studios are opened up and people are going back to in-person classes? Like I still actually only practice yoga online still, but that's because my teachers are in the UK. But I don't use on-demand platforms. I actually just never have. So I'm just not the right person to like know. But what do you think? You've got both. You've got the studio and the online studio.
They both ebb and flow. They both need love. Like the yoga library is harder work because you need to put a lot of work in to stay relevant. People love challenges.
I love the challenges that you run. You put so much effort into curating the challenges and the competitions. Like I absolutely love it.
They're so great, but they are such hard work, but they yield the most results. And so basically, it's getting to a point where like it's pretty self-sustainable now. I've got a colleague, Jess. Jess is great. She's like the second teacher with me on the yoga library. She's the main teacher at Basic Space. She's going to take over mat leave. So Basic Space is kind of like Jess has got it. And so I can put a little bit more energy into the yoga library. And that's what, for the yoga library to be like relevant all the time, it needs to be fresh, 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 fresh. And that is a lot of work. So that's what I'll say about an online platform. If you're going to go down that route, let it be that your main focus, because it requires a lot. There are so many people doing it and offering more for less. Offering less for more. Like it depends like where you kind of want to position yourself. You know, you can either be a more expensive platform that reaches less people, or really a much more affordable platform that reaches the masses. But it requires a lot more work. And like January, you know, like January, we saw an uptick of like 200 new members because of our, January challenge. How many of those did we retain from now? We probably lost like 40% of them, you know, 50 something, but like ask me again in 2 months, you know, like every month you lose people. Every month you lose the same amount of people that are coming in. If you do nothing, maybe even more, right? So you've got to keep on innovating and trying to do things that are a little bit different, and that might be harder work.
Yeah, and I think you do that really well. I think you put a lot of effort into those challenges and events and it shows, like it's different to other studios and online platforms.
They're it's hard. You know when you like, you know when you want to do something and you're like, oh, I can't. That's gonna be so much work. I can't even start. And then you start it and you're like, oh, this is actually not so bad. And I'm really enjoying this. There's a bit of that. Sometimes it's just easier to just start than to like think about it.
Okay, so on that note, you're obviously someone that does take action. I interview quite a lot of like amazing entrepreneurial business women like yourself. You've come up with these amazing ideas and you've actually made them happen. And actually, all too often, people sit on these ideas and never actually take action. What is it in you that helps you? Or how do you actually bring these ideas into reality and see them through to the end? Because it's amazing.
Well, I'd say that I definitely only like pursue like 40% of the ideas that pop into my head. Like, I'm always like, ooh, that would be really cool. And then maybe don't push that to fruition. But a lot of the times, the things that have gone really well for me, the things that like you've maybe seen or people have seen me accomplish on social, are the thought process behind that is usually just do it. Okay, I'm going to do it. And I'm just going to set myself, with the studio, I was like, I need a studio space to film. We were like renovating our apartment. And I couldn't film in the house. And I was like paying £1,000 to like rent a studio space for a day. Maybe if I was lucky and they gave me a discount, I was getting 2 days for that. And I was like, I could be paying this for a month somewhere if it was my own space. And so I looked on Gumtree and Googled studio spaces for rent in London. And I found one in this like little kind of cul-de-sac that we're in. And they were like, oh, we've just rented that out to these guys. But we have this big studio coming up for grabs, and it was like three times the size that I originally wanted. Three times the amount of rent. And I was like, well, I could run my own classes here. And I've been looking for a place to do that. And I didn't want to teach at any studio for 30, 40 quid, because I just didn't think that would be a good use of my time when I could put on events. And that's another thing, coming back to like the new teachers, like when you get those emails, workshops and events. Like, yes, you need to do the classes, and the classes are really valuable. And I'm seeing that even more now with Basic Space and the ones that I teach. But do the classes, get the emails, do the events, do the workshops. Try to make it so that 1 hour of your time produces £300, you know? But anyway, so back to the studio space, like my husband was like, no. And everyone was kind of like, I don't know. And I was like, yes. You know, I'm just gonna do it. And then I did walk away from it, and I said, look, it's a bit too expensive for me. And then they came back like a week later and knocked a bit of money off the rent. And then I was like, okay, here we go. And I knew that Yoga Lab was making money, so I knew that it was like, it's all under the same company, so I knew that like, okay, maybe it just bleeds Yoga Lab for a bit, but the Yoga Lab is making money, so that's okay. I just need to like cut back a little bit on myself. So that's kind of what we did. The Yoga Library funded Basic Space. And that's kind of how I was able to do it, because I had income coming in from that to put into this new project. And then I did almost throw the towel in April, no, August, sorry. But then we just like persevered with it. And now
with Basic Space.
Yeah. And now Basic Space is yielding results. And now we're looking for a bigger studio space.
What was it that made you want to throw the towel in?
It's just hard. Like, we started in February of last year. We couldn't get Google Ads to work. You're going to laugh at this. But I think because I set up the page on my personal, and then I tried to set up the ads on the email for Basic Space.
Okay.
Don't know. But they're like, you're not in our guidelines. Danger, danger. And getting a hold of anybody, Google, like last month, this is in February of 2022, and last month, I was like, you know what, maybe it's because of this. And so I set up a new Google Ads on my personal email, and that seemed to work. And then 2 days later, thanks for writing to us about your appeal. we have now, we're now allowing you to run ads.
Oh no.
And I was like, are you kidding me? So now a year into it, we're able to do ads, but at the beginning, it was all.
So Google basically nearly cracked you.
Yeah.
Google ads nearly ruined everything.
So just technology in general. Well, like, and so then you're relying only on word of mouth and ClassPass. You hesitate to get involved with them, but you have to. And before we had any negotiating power with ClassPass, we were making £3 a person. You have to negotiate with ClassPass.
Like, yeah, I don't think people realize that you can negotiate with them.
Yeah, like you have to have negotiating power. You know, like at the beginning, they were like, well, take £3 or nothing. And I was like, I'll take £3. And then you get to a point where you're like, you know, we've got some of our own members now, and your members are taking up spaces from us. And your members love us. We're 5-star on your platform. So up the rate, you know? And now we get around £9 ClassPass, or I think I need to negotiate with them again. But then I negotiated. Yeah, I've got a really good relationship with the rep, and you can, she might kill me, but you can negotiate with ClassPass, and you should, because why are we these facilities where they can offer a free membership to the masses? It means nothing to them and everything to us. I pay my teachers £1 per head. So when 10 people are £1 per head on top of their rate, when they've got 10 free people into our classes, I'm still paying that out. So it does really, really affect us. But that's how we start. Like, that's how we start. Had to start was, okay, ClassPass. And then we added our own memberships. And it was just word of mouth. Like, there was no other way to do it except my Instagram for whoever likes chairs. And then word of mouth, because, you know, Google ads weren't working. And that's what you need in sort of a local studio. You need the local ads to be like promoting you. And we weren't able to do that until a month ago, but it wasn't until September that like all of a sudden we were like selling out classes. And so before that, you know, when every single month was costing me like £2,000 to £4,000, I was like, should I just go back to the yoga library? Like, the overheads are not that high.
Yeah.
I don't have rent to pay. I don't have salary to pay. I don't have heating to pay. I don't have anyone I can let down except myself.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, August, I just got married.
One Congrats. Of the teachers said,
well, I had gotten married again, as in like to the same person, but like had the wedding. So we had been married for 4 years at this point. But I just got back from that. I was so burnt out. And one of my teachers just like didn't show up to teach her class. And I had like, you know, 15 people emailing me. Where's the instructor? We can't get into the studio. And I was like, this is not worth it. You know, like, yeah. I can't let people down. I can't like be everywhere. I can't, you know, it was, you know, these things happen, but like, I took it really personally, obviously. And, this is just so much work. And so I really thought about throwing the towel in. But instead we just found ways to like deal with it better. And people make mistakes. Like, you know, no one was really that upset that the class didn't go on, because we jumped in there and we said, look, we're really sorry. Here's 2 free classes on us.
And so what's next for the studio? Obviously you've not thrown the towel in, and it seems like things are, you know, studio's full, people are happy. What's the plan? What's next?
There's 2 things happening. I'm looking for a studio space, a bigger one.
It's quite the...
Well, I know. Now I'm fully in. But it's going well, and I love it. I can't lie. Like, I love it more, not more than the yoga library. I just find it more
fulfilling
because I get to see these people every day. Like, the online space is me, and then the emails from people that are often nice, but often like, hey, this video doesn't work. Yeah, I answer all the emails too. So sometimes somebody will be like, somebody that doesn't know me will like stumble upon the yoga library and be like, I can't get onto your platform. And I don't know why they can't get onto it. Or there's some sort of technical difficulty on their end and I can't figure it out on my end. But they're speaking to me like I'm not that we should speak to anybody this way, but like I'm like this call person on a massive corporation and not like the creator of it and like highly sensitive by any like issues that somebody might encounter. And like, you know, at the end of the day, if there's any issues on the yoga library, I like, free month back, here you go. Like, I want you to have a great time. You know, like I'm not, you're not emailing Netflix to get a, you know, 5-day turnaround. Like, sorry, read the terms and conditions. Like, we will find a solution for you. If you can't find the button to cancel, and so you miss the opportunity to cancel, they email me. I'm like, cool, we'll refund you for the last month. And sorry to see you go. You know, but like, they don't understand that they're talking to me a lot of the time. So sometimes the emails are really like abrupt and abrasive. And, you know, I'm like, oh. And so basically, I get to see everyone all the time and everyone's happy. And they're like, and I can see that they're enjoying the class. And I'm just like in the little office, like everyone comes out feeling so zen. And you can just see that like positive impact. So we're looking for a bigger studio space. Our space is perfectly imperfect, but there are definitely some imperfections. And when I signed the lease, it was a 3-year lease, and it's not like a regular commercial lease where like they can't kick us out. Like at the end of the 3 years, they could very well just be like, you know what, someone's going to pay us a little bit more for this space. We're going to give it to them. Not that they will. I've got a good relationship with them, but that is always a possibility. And so I want a normal commercial lease. I have a normal commercial business. It wasn't the intention, but it is now. And then I'm looking for, always looking, but like I'm really thinking about like my 5-year plan. And I would really like to buy something in Europe, like a 7-bedroom house to do retreats, to do trainings, and then to hire it out to other teachers.
Lovely.
Yeah. So I mean, I've seen a lot of like, I spent so much time trolling the internet for like places to rent yoga studios that almost have it all, or yoga villas that almost have it all but don't have it all, you know, like that are like lacking something that we need to facilitate a good retreat.
So you're actually starting to take action on this already. The 5-year plan.
Yeah.
Trawling the internet. Okay, I have a final question, which is a bit random, but I'm super interested. I've been on your Instagram and I've seen all the pictures of your flat and the studio. Where do you keep all your stuff? Do you have any stuff?
I love to.
Is it like great storage or where's all your stuff?
No, I do love to throw things out though. Okay, so the studio, you're gonna laugh, but like, and my teachers will laugh at me, and the students that go there will also laugh. But like, behind those wooden doors is all of our stuff. I'm incredibly OCD about stuff and clutter, and the teachers. I love our teachers are so great, like. They do make sure those mats are rolled really, really tight. All the blocks are put away neat and everything is just like orderly. And that is how I feel able to like maybe take on a lot of stuff, because everything else is like, you know, like my closet is like pretty orderly. Like, and if it gets a little messy in the drawers, I refold everything. But then I go through like culls all the time. And like, if it does not spark joy, it's out. And I keep a box of things that I might want to give my daughter one day, like don't wear this anymore, but she might want to. So I'll keep that, but everything else I donate. And so everything is nice and neat and like minimal. But I do have a lot of stuff. We just have good storage. My husband's an architect. And so like the house has storage behind hidden doors. Under our stairs is a disaster. I keep asking to like throw out the paint. Why do we have the paint? And Matt's like, well, you never know when we're gonna have to repaint. And I'm a bit like, okay. So like under the stairs is
it's his domain.
It's a bit more chaotic.
Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as we enjoyed recording it. Now, as I mentioned, the Yoga Library and Basic Space are two businesses that we supported with Facebook and Instagram ads, not Google ads. if support running paid ads is something that you feel your business could really benefit from, then don't hesitate to drop into my DMs or send me an email and inquire, and let's jump on a call. Make sure to go and check out both The Yoga Library and Basic Space on Instagram. I'm going to link them in the show notes below, and go and see if you can spot that very special orange chair.